Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Father, we thank you for this time that we're able to steal away with you as a spiritual family here on the beautiful Sunshine Coast. We thank you, Lord, that amidst the surrounding of this beautiful creation that we're able to rediscover the importance of spiritual family. And when we look around this room and see the beautiful nations and peoples and every, as we sang earlier, every tribe and tongue will sing your glory. So, Lord, we pray that you'd be glorified in our time together today. Help us to be attuned to what you desire to speak, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. I think being in a moment like this is very reflective of what we're going to talk about today. But in order to talk about what we want to talk about today, I have to kind of give a preface to what Pastor Henry was preaching at Logan and what I preached last week at our central location based around the life of Stephen. And if you'll remember, Stephen was stoned, not that kind of stoned, all right? But he had been executed by stoning because of his faith. And we touched on a few of the reasons why he had to take that stand and become the first Christian martyr to lay down his life for his faith. And I ended, at least at Central, I ended with the question here, as we talk about Antioch, the first church, before going there, is your faith worth dying for? Is your faith worth dying for? That was the question that I asked last week. If you think about the very foundation of what you build your life upon, which can be measured by what you use all your time, what you use all your cash, or what you use all your passion towards, you can generally discover what a person has faith in because that's what they're willing to bank their lives on. And so last week, again, I'll use this example. Last week, I talked about, I can believe that this is a chair. I can believe that this chair can hold me up, but belief does not become faith until I actually sit in the chair and believe that this chair can hold up this Samoan boy, all right? So that's where faith is. It's being able to put your life on what you believe in. And I wanted to shout out all my young people here, because if you can understand this from a young age, in terms of understanding what you're putting your life in right now, you will have a head start on many of us, I won't say old, more seasoned people. Because the decisions that you make will echo into the rest of your life. Can I get an amen from all my seasoned people in here? So whether you like it or not, you are putting your life on the line for something that you believe in. Even if you say, I'm not putting my life into anything, that's still something. Every single one of us is a worshiper. It's just a matter of what we are worshiping, what we have faith in. So as we talk about Antioch, and many of you may not be familiar with this church at Antioch. Now, we have to highlight that Stephen was executed for his faith, because what inevitably happened, because Stephen was killed for his faith, was that the rumors started to go around that they were killing Christians. Now, they weren't known as Christians until Antioch. Now, understand this, okay? Can you imagine? Think about this for a moment, everybody. If you are a person of faith in this room, how many of you are followers of Jesus in this room, right? Can you imagine, right, as a person of faith, seeing somebody get killed for their faith and you're right there? Can you imagine all the people that were executing Stephen turning around to you and saying, you want some of this, old man? Right? Would you be like, okay, I'm willing to go? Or would you be like, no, and run off? Right? This is inevitably what happened. The rumors became so strong that these people had laid their, they had witnessed somebody who had laid their life down, his life down for his faith. Now here's the juxtaposition of what we're living in here in Australia. How many of you know we live here, and the aim of a good life here, at least in Australian society, is comfort. That's not a promise from the cross. That's not a promise of Jesus. In fact, he says, blessed are those who mourn, God will comfort them. This is the only time he comforts you when you're in pain, but you will have to go through pain. And I want to apologize to those of you who may have sat in sermons that have preached a false gospel saying, if you follow Jesus, it's going to be like Disneyland without the queues. It's not. You're going to go through hardships. But blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord, for he will find, or she will find, comfort in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what happens is, and I feel like the weatherman again, because we're going to throw some maps up on the screen, If you can see this map here, down the bottom of the map is Jerusalem, right? And so the Christians start to disperse because they're being persecuted. Now, you may think that that was really bad of them, but God in his sovereignty, how many of you know God knows much more than we do? God's ways are higher than ours. If not for this persecution, this is what persecution is, being hurt or being threatened for your faith. And so because they were threatened for their faith, the gospel was dispersed in what, you know, Christian historians call the diaspora. So the gospel actually spread out because everybody was running for their lives. They held on to their faith, but they wanted to stay alive. Like, how many staying alive team do we have here? Right? See, so trying to bring the gospel into the camp, right? So they were running away from stones, and as they were throwing the stones, No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, just think about this for a moment, because as they're going, they're not losing their faith, but they're trying to stay alive, because as long as they are alive, they can still preach the gospel. And so where we want to focus today is how the gospel spread up to Antioch. Obviously, it spread into other nations and other cities, but this place, Antioch, is very significant. Why? Because it's, apart from Acts chapter 2, which we touched on earlier in the series, Acts 11, it marks the first marking of what the early church should look like. And any time in the Bible where you find a theme that runs concurrently throughout Scripture, you always want to go to where it's first mentioned to find a pattern there. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the church at Antioch and look at some of the patterns there. And if you are a follower of Christ, then these are the marks that God would like for us to have in our church. Now, as I talk about the church, I don't want you to think about the organization. What I want you to think about is you as a part of the church, the body of Christ. And in terms of local church, I know some of you may be visiting from other churches. That's great. Like, look for this in your own local church as you go back to your own local church. If you're here as a part of Every Nation, then we want to welcome you to understand how is this reflective, not just in the organization, but in my family and in my life. I'm going to give you 5 qualities. We're going to go through them quite quickly. And I'm just going to read through this text and break it down from what Laura was reading earlier. So here we go. Firstly, the first church was in a big city. The first church was in a big city. Now, if I show you Antioch, how many of you notice it's a coastal city? And every time you have a coastal city, it usually means that there's a lot of transactions that happen there. It's a place of commerce, place of trade. And it was also a place of influence, cultural influence, because it borders Asia Minor and Europe and also Africa to the south, if you want to go further south. So it was a place where those of northern Egypt and Libya would travel to trade their wares. Those who would come from the east, places as far as India, would come to trade. And also those from places like modern-day Italy, Greece, would also come to Antioch. So it was a multicultural place. Look around this room, everybody. Take a good look around this room at the people, not the fans, not the... Look at the people that are in this room. This is our spiritual family. I need you to see this. This is not usual in Australia. The only thing we might have in common is our pursuit of Jesus. And that's great, isn't it? That God would bring people from different nations, different backgrounds, different generations into a room like this in the Sunshine Coast, sacrifice. Oh, how hard it is to sacrifice, to come to the Sunshine Coast. It's always hard to tell people about the missional activity in Brisbane, because everybody's like, you're in Brisbane, right? Yeah, I am. We're suffering for Jesus out here. Gold Coast to the south. Sunshine Coast to the north. You know, state of origin in our hands, right? And just hard. It's just so hard to be the champions. Go Broncos. All right, so I was just thinking about this for a moment. Like, throughout this camp, I've just been pausing at certain moments just to look around the rooms and the activities that we've had, trying to get tennis balls through tarpaulins. And it's just been awesome to see how you've all interacted, because this is very unusual. Given to our own volition, I need you all to look up at me and understand this. Given to your own volition, you'll naturally congregate and live around people that are just like you. I'll say that again. Given to your own volition, you'll naturally congregate around people that are just like you. How many of you know you're going to hate heaven when you get there? There is no Samoan section of heaven. There is no Filipino section of heaven. Sorry, huh? There is no Anglo-Australian section of heaven. I'm sure there's a food court that has all the expressions of these different groups of people. But I'm here to tell you today, there is no indigenous Aboriginal part of heaven. We are all one, worshiping one God. There is neither Jew nor Greek. And so in a setting like this, we are forced to come together and be aware of one another. And this is the heart of our leadership here. How hypocritical would it be to be a church named Every Nation and just have one nation? Or one generation? This is what heaven looks like. When you're in a room full of different generations and different nations, this is representative of what heaven looks like. And this is why God has a very great heart for cities. And it's not to say that God doesn't love rural spaces. God doesn't love where Braden grew up, watching out for cows' tails going up. It's not to say that. But the reason why he loves cities is because that's where the people are the most. Consider this in Australia. 86.24% of the population live in cities. And 3/4 of that live on the East Coast, primarily in Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne. I'm here to tell you today, God loves big cities. Doesn't mean that, you know, we shouldn't be aware of what happens in the country or in Samoa, the Quebecs, you know, or the provinces. God loves the provinces, but he loves where people are. I think, you know, when this is my heart as your pastor, when I see that the fastest growing nation in the world is India, and it's also quickly becoming, if not already, the largest nation in the world population-wise. And then when I look across this room and I don't see yet a full representation of the nation of India in the room, how many of you know we've got work to do? Kulperu, where we have our central location, apart from Anglo-Australians, the second most populated people group in Kulperu is the Indians. We got work to do, church. But it's not going to happen if that's Pastor Nelly's job. It's not just me, it's all of us being aware of the Antioch we get to be in. Let's move on. So as we look at this, right, the Spirit told me to go with them. Notice it's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us together. These six brothers accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. We'll move on to verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and just as on us at the beginning, talking about Acts chapter 2. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that you can have the organization together, but if you do not have the Holy Spirit, it's pointless? And as we move forward, verse 17, and then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I, that I could stand in God's way. How many of you know, like, when the Holy Spirit comes and invades your work, there is nothing you can do to stop it. Nothing. It's all pointless unless the Holy Spirit is moving. So the second quality that we wanted to see in Antioch is that the people of God there in Antioch were hungry for the Holy Spirit. How hungry are you for the Holy Spirit? I know the Bible teacher John Bevere once taught that you can be full of the Holy Spirit only when you are hungering for him. And he teaches that if he is not hungry because he is full of the world, there's no room for a hunger for the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it takes an emptying of ourselves and the desires that we have for other things in order to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. Maybe in this world and in this life, you haven't hungered for the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been so caught up in life, and I get it, life happens. But when all of your schedule is consumed, and all of your finances are consumed, and all of your time and your passions are consumed by the pursuit of other things, there's no room to hunger for the Holy Spirit. How hungry are you for a move of God in our city? The only way that revival is going to come to Brisbane, to Logan City, is if we make room for the Holy Spirit to move. Let's move forward. And when they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. So initially they're just talking to people who were just like them. This could be partially towards a racial bias, but I honestly believe that if you read that what propelled them out was the execution of Stephen, they were fearful for their lives. So they were afraid, oh, if I tell somebody who's not of my ethnicity about Jesus, they may kill me. But here's what happens. When the Holy Spirit takes a hold of their hearts, look what happens. But there was some of their men of Cyprus and Cyrene who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, these are the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. Need us to remember Cyrene. It's a region of North Africa. So this is a bunch of young black men and women who were up in that area of Antioch. And they weren't afraid because they weren't Jewish themselves. Why is Cyrene so important? You'll remember when Jesus couldn't hold the cross anymore and he had to drop it because he couldn't carry it. There was a man, a black man, who picked up the cross. His name was Simon of Cyrene and bore the cross all the way to the place where they would eventually nail him to it and have him executed. It was a black man who was utilized. How many of you know this gospel has literally come to the ends of the earth, not just for Jewish people, not just for your ethnicity, but crosses all cultures. And it's amazing how God might use you and your culture to impact cultures outside of where it's been taken. And so what we're seeing here is that the church was a refuge for all people. Say all people. Especially the vulnerable. It's a place of safety. Our heart for our church, our leadership, when I consider Pastor Henry and Pastor Tina and Sam and our admin staff, you know, all of our leaders, Mike at the back there, you know, our heart is that this place would be a safe place for all of us to share lives. Now, that's hard, right? Because I know when you come to camp, you get to see people the way they really are. I know when we're together at church for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, right? You see the polished stuff. Everybody looks good, is all dressed. I mean, you look great this morning, but, you know, when we were at Silverbacks this morning, I just wipe, spray, brush and go, right? Let's just... So you're seeing us for who we really are. And this is what the church needs to look like. It needs to be a place where we don't have anything to hide, but we can come before God and before one another in the relationships that he wants us to develop, building trust over time, to be able to share our lives so that we can help one another to be lifted towards God. This is what it's all about. And it's not just done on Sunday. It's not just done on Sunday. I wasn't planning to do this, but I honor my sister. Raywin, stand up. I want to honor you. I want to honor Raywin. You know, this morning she was sharing the story about how her and her husband, CLC, you know, founded Silverbacks just in their front yard, just working out. And then they started a fitness challenge and then, you know, grabbed a bunch of us to come along. And it's just amazing what the work that has been done through them and through Pastor Henry and Helen and just the rest of the team to now 10 years later. How many of you know when God builds something, no one can stop it? The Holy Spirit birthed Silverbacks. And that's the reason, a lot of the reason why we have a church in Logan is because of that heart for outreach. It's more than just fitness. I mean, that's what Raywin was sharing. It's more than just fitness. But this is just one person, one couple. Can you imagine if every single person in here was activated fully by the Holy Spirit to fulfill everything that God's put on their heart, but has a safe place to be able to develop fully in everything that God's called them to? It's not just a Sunday. Your Christianity is not just a Sunday thing. But in this room, there are business ideas that God wants you to launch into. In this room, there's community activity that God wants you to launch into. But in the safety and the counsel of a good community that you walk together with. That you're able to share hearts and share lives, not just chismis and faikakala, to talk in Tagalog and Samoan, which means to gossip for all the rest of us. But to share hearts so that we can help each other grow and actually pray for one another. Remember that? We can pray for one another. So this is the type of church that Antioch was. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. See, when you are moving by the Holy Spirit, when you become a refuge and a safe place for those who are broken, those who need to find safety, it's amazing what God will do to turn people towards Him. It's not a strategy. It's just being hospitable. Oh, but Pastor Nelly, I don't have a big mouth like you. I don't know all those fancy Bible words that you look, can you cook? Yeah. Then invite them to your house and cook them a meal. I'm telling you, there have been meals that have been cooked by people in this room that have, woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, I've tasted food cooked by people in this room that I have been praying in tongues. It's so good. And there's something about hospitality, right? There's something about when you are generous with your hospitality and open up your life. But Pastor Nelly, I don't have much. But if you'll use what you have, whether it's a gifting, I can't cook. Can you dance? And teach people to dance. And let them see your generosity. And the way you TikTok for Jesus, right? Come on. I don't know what that was. It looked like epilepsy. But I'm here to tell you today that God has given every single one of you a silverbacks type dream, a vision, to not just grow a business for your sake that has your name on it. So to the glory of God, see Lord, diba? No, it's about building His kingdom, not your empire. But if you'll use what you have, Pastor Nelly, I'm too young. Like there's stuff that you have right now. If you have somebody you know that's younger than you, use what you have to help that person younger than you. They might need help with their homework. Just whatever it is. This is the type of church that Antioch was. But I'm not Jewish enough. Well, I'll just reach the non-Jewish people. Or I'm too Jewish. Then reach the other Jews then. Like, whatever it is, just serve with what you have. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. How many of you remember Saul? Saul would eventually become Paul, right? And Saul was at the stoning of Stephen. Can you imagine? Barnabas goes, oh, wow, there's such amazing fruit happening here. I'm going to go get my friend Saul. They would have been like, oh, eh? Why are you getting Saul for? Well, he was there when he was holding the coats when we had him stoned. But this is the power of transformation. Okay, lean in a little bit. I need you to hear this. Because I really believe that God might bring some people that you may have had an issue with before through some other means into the kingdom of God. How would you feel about that? How would you feel if somebody that did you wrong came running to the front of your church service and like, I'm sorry, I want to give my life to Jesus. Will you be like, yeah, right, there's no hope for you, hell. Or will you be open to the transformation that God might do in an Antioch-type church to see them transform? Will you let the Holy Spirit work compassion on you? Because we forgive out of the forgiveness we've received. Saul's coming to church. Turn to somebody, tell them, Saul's coming to church. Hey, maybe you're Saul. Or maybe you're Sauline, Pauline, I don't know. Maybe you've come in here and you're like, I don't know, Pastor Nelly, you know, these Christian things, man. I'm just here because, the girls are cute and the food's good. Well, you come to the right place. Welcome to Antioch. We're going to wind this up. Church was a place for deep discipleship relationships. And then lastly, now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And so the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. The church was prophetic and generous. And in a moment, we'll have the opportunity to pray for one another. Because I really believe that there's words of prophecy that God wants to release over your life today. But also the church was generous. The church was generous. Not being a holdout or a stallie. or kuriput, or aiu, right? But being generous with what they have. This is the type of gospel transformation that if God can transform you to see past yourself, past your own people, past your own generation, towards a city that desperately needs God, towards a people that desperately need Him. And He might use you if you'll just let Him. Because each person in this room has a choice to make. Will you let God use you fully? Or will you just walk away from Him and say, I don't want this? How many of you know there's no room for lukewarm? God wants to use your life. And sure, we may read this tale of Antioch and this church that would go on to transform history, being the first expression of multiculturalism within a church that was known as Christians. This is the first church that was known as Christians. If you read further on, this is where followers and disciples become what we call Christians. Christians literally means little Christs. And they were called this by society because it was a term of mockery. Ah, these Christians, these little mini-me Christs. But it's become inevitably 2,000 years later what we call ourselves in the faith, because it means now for us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm thankful that Christ has transformed my life. I'm thankful that Christ has called me to walk alongside you, not just lead our church, but to walk alongside you as a friend, as a brother and uncle and a spiritual father, whatever it might be. I'm here to serve. But how many of you know, it's not just about me. It's about every single one of us who say, yes, this is my church. This is how I will follow Christ. To play our part and be activated, not sit back. Not wait for a platform, but use wherever God has positioned you to serve and to help others to come into contact with the beautiful love of God. And then for those of you who are on the periphery, this is His invitation to come closer. This is His invitation to come in and experience life, because it's either you experience this in proximity or you walk away. But each of us has that choice. So I'm just closing with this thought. The Church of Antioch was hungry for the Holy Spirit. It was a refuge for all peoples. It was a place for deep discipleship relationships. It was prophetically, it was obedient and lovingly generous. If I'm to summarize those things into two statements, it would be this. And asking ourselves, are we personally trusting by God's grace? Are we hungry for the Holy Spirit? And are we all a tribe of all peoples growing together? I'm going to hand this over to a time of ministry with Pastor Henry, but I want us just to take a moment right now just to reflect on that question that's on the screen. Think for a moment, am I allowing God to take rule of my life? And as Pastor Henry comes, I just want to avail an opportunity for us to pray, if I can invite us to bow our heads at this time and just close our eyes and just begin to ask ourselves that question. Is Jesus Christ ruling over my life? Does He have full control? And do I want to give Him full control? If your desire is to hand your life over to Jesus, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you specifically. So right where you are, if that's your decision that you're making today, whether it's for the first time or first time in a while, and you're saying, man, you know what? I've tried to control my life my way. I'm going to choose to trust in God. If that's you today, can I just get you to lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? If you're in this room today and your desire is to give your life over to Him. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for these ones who have their hands lifted in this room today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will help them to experience You in a fresh way. Just those of you who have your hands lifted, and everybody else in here, if you are a follower of Jesus, you can just pray this with me. You can pray this aloud. Just pray and follow me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today recognizing how merciful You are. I thank You that You invite me to come closer to You and to receive You as the Lord of my life. Right now, I choose to give You my whole life. I thank You that I am forgiven, through the finished work of your cross. I now turn away from my sin and I turn towards you. Thank you now that I am completely yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God praise, everybody?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.